Hi, everybody. This is Mike Versace from Wikibon. Thanks for joining us today. This is the August 3rd, 2010 Peer Insight meeting with Wikibon, where business and technology practitioners gather and meet to discuss and debate challenging problems and to share knowledge. My name, again, is Mike Versace, and I'll be moderating the call today. And I welcome your active participation. Before we get started, just a couple of housekeeping items. The call today is scheduled for an hour in duration. The call is being recorded, and please use the star 6 on your phone to mute and unmute your phone. We'd like folks participating in the call to be on mute if you're not speaking. Say, hit the star 6 and join the discussion. From this call, Wikibon will be creating a set of research notes and audio mashups that will be posted to wikibon.org shortly after the call. Usually we do that within about 48 hours. We'll also be generating a newsletter from the discussion, which will be distributed to the Wikibon community. If you'd like to take a look at the premise for the call and what we'll be discussing today, you can find that at wikibon.org. Also, if you're going to be tweeting during the call, please use the pound Wikibon hashtag for your tweets, and we'll track the conversation and share the conversation that way also. Okay, so today's Peer Insight call is entitled Securely Moving to the Cloud, and we welcome Mr. Lincoln Cannon, Director of Web Systems at Merit Medical, for the discussion. Hi, Lincoln, and welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. Let me try to set up the premise for the call, reintroducing the premise, and then we'll get into the discussion. So for medical suppliers like Merit Medical and others serving the changing and growing healthcare industry, using cloud services to provide a simple and secure method of collaboration and communication, particularly between product managers, mobile sales teams, channels, partners, and others in the supply chain, can generate tremendous organizational and business value to all parties involved. And while collaboration tools have been inside the data center for years, cloud-based services now provide an attractive alternative as many businesses of all sizes are engaging with services from Google, Salesforce, Amazon, and others as a centerpiece of their collaboration strategy. And of course, the reasons are pretty obvious. These services, for the most part, are feature-rich. They provide short ramp-up times, broad accessibility, and most importantly, less complexity to the end user in most cases. And that's exactly what users are demanding right now. But on the flip side, it's really what the CTOs and what the CIOs really need to think about providing the end user community in terms of IT services. So with the acquisition and use of collaboration tools as a service, or any other software as a service for that matter, it requires a security strategy, starting with a focus on how to manage identity.
I'm Moe, baby.
Identity and access with cloud services. And identity and access management really can be viewed as a core enabler of business collaboration, supporting users as they move inside and outside the data center, and in many cases between services, and in those cases, sometimes having very unique security profiles, compliance requirements, and other functionality and capabilities. The premise of identity and access management as a business enabler in the cloud services space, let me turn the discussion over to you, Lincoln. So, Lincoln, if you could start off giving us a bit of information about Merit Medical and your role there.
Yeah, happy to. Merit Medical is a manufacturer of single-use medical devices like catheters and syringes, needles, fluid bags, inflation devices, things along those lines. And we do everything from research and development through manufacturing all the way up to direct sales worldwide. And my role at Merit is Director of Web Systems. I actually report up through the sales and marketing team. I'm responsible both for internet marketing as well as for sales and marketing technology initiatives and the web systems that support them.
So how did you get involved in cloud initiatives? Can you just talk a little bit about that, and then maybe some of the security challenges you saw as you started to to see the value in the use of cloud services.
Yeah. When I was first hired, I was given a couple of problems to solve as my first projects. Those problems were, number one, the sales team wanted a better way of collaborating and sharing information among the distributed sales team. And then number two, they wanted a better way of training that distributed sales team on product information, sales tactics, things along those lines. So I recommended a couple of solutions that I thought would get us to the point we wanted to be quickly. And those solutions were Google Docs and a learning management system called eLeap, made by Talania. And those are both software as a service applications. You're probably all familiar with Google Docs. Both software as a service. And the real benefit that I saw in recommending those is that we would be able to get them up and running quite quickly because we didn't have to do any development or hardware set up ourselves. And also, they weren't particularly expensive. So those are the benefits I saw. In addition, they would solve the needs, the use cases that were given to me. After suggesting the use of those applications, we were reviewing the related concerns and challenges with putting those into use. And a couple of things came forward. One, from the sales executive side, concerns were expressed about the additional usernames and passwords that might be required to use these systems. They weren't part of our internal infrastructure. They did have other usernames and passwords needed to get into them. So that was one concern. The other concern that was expressed came from the IT executive side. And the concern there was, well, how can we secure these systems and prevent access to them in an easy way? We don't want to have to turn off user accounts all over the place for our internal network and then for a bunch of software as a service applications running out in the cloud. It makes the system more complex and potentially less secure. So with those challenges in mind, I went looking for a solution. And offhand, you know, I knew that there were companies that had implemented kind of single sign-on solutions for accessing web systems through some traditional providers. I wasn't too interested in a traditional provider because I've heard of, you know, the long implementation times and the relatively high expense of getting those kinds of things going. So I went out, frankly, looking for a software as a service security provider, somebody who could secure web applications, cloud applications, and integrate them, help us integrate them with our internal IT infrastructure. And through some research, I came across a company called Simplified, and they provided both single sign-on access to software as a service applications, as well as the ability to manage accounts and access to those systems so that we could turn off access to them. And that was really perfect because it solved both of the concerns that were expressed by the executives that were sponsoring these projects. And so we did some research on Simplified, found that we liked them, and went ahead with the implementation and have been quite happy with that.
That's great. One of the things you mentioned, Lincoln, was the requirement, the requirement is probably from your technology side, CTO, CIO, of leveraging internal infrastructure within Merit Medical. Can you talk a little bit about what that technology platform is like inside Merit Medical?
Yes, we leverage Active Directory. We have a Windows network running, Active Directory user accounts. Every employee, of course, has an account in the Active Directory system. And when an employee is hired, that Active Directory account is initialized, and when they leave the company, then that account is turned off, and they can no longer access any of the internal intranet-type systems. Well, with the addition of some software as a service applications, we wanted to extend that Active Directory environment out into the cloud so that they could use their Active Directory username and password to get into everything, and then when that Active Directory account is turned off, afterwards prevent them from accessing both the internal IT resources as well as those cloud applications.
So Active Directory was the sort of the centerpiece, if you will, of the identity and access management platform at Merit Medical. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. How about how important was for the particularly for the sales team, Salesforce, how important was mobile access to, you know, to your decision making process of finding a solution that could handle identities outside of the data center and those that were stuffed into your Active Directory platform?
Mobile access was a very important factor in the decisions we made. One of the tasks I mentioned was the task of helping our distributed sales team collaborate better, share information better, and the primary device that they use in their work is a smartphone. Typically iPhones is what our sales personnel use in the United States. And what we wanted to be able to do is push out sales information, product information to those devices in a way that we could control a little bit better than email. So Google Docs was the recommendation that I gave for solving that challenge. But of course, we also wanted to be able to secure that information, and we found that Simplified was able to provide single sign-on access to that information, both on workstations, so their PCs, whether they're desktops or laptops, as well as their mobile devices on the iPhone. So when they try to go to Google Docs on their iPhones to get the information they need, they are given a sign-in prompt that is an intercept from the Simplified service where they put in their Active Directory username and password. Once that's in, then they get access on their iPhone to all of their Google documents in the same way that they would if they were using their laptop or desktop.
Beyond the iPhone, has the Salesforce moved to the iPad platform yet?
There's been some consideration given to that. Some of our sales representatives have bought them and are toying around figuring out how best to make them useful, and there is potential for moving in that direction more strongly in the future, but haven't adopted it in a widespread way yet.
Right, got it. Okay, excellent. You know, we're all talking about security here, we're talking about security requirements. Within Merit, do you have a CISO, a Chief Information Security Officer, and how was that sort of discipline involved in the process of, you know, selecting the right technology, putting the right business process in for provisioning users and all those things that CISOs do?
Yeah, at Merit, we do not have a CISO. We have a CIO who fills that role. And the CIO was the person who brought forward the concerns with the account management that I mentioned earlier. So they wanted to be able to ensure that we could turn off these accounts, these web systems accounts, when the Active Directory accounts are turned off so that we could prevent users from accessing information once they no longer should be accessing it. So the process was basically, hey, here's the proposal for how we'd like to solve these business problems, these business challenges. And those proposals were reviewed both by sales executives and by the IT team, particularly the CIO. Concerns were identified, and then we went about looking for a way to address those concerns. So no CISO specifically involved, but the CIO filling that role.
All right, excellent. Thanks for that. So, security has a number of A's associated with it. You know, you've got the authentication, the authorization piece, administration component. Auditing is a very important component of security, particularly for third-party services or software as a service, cloud services. Can you maybe just speak a little bit about a couple of those? And the one I think our listeners might be maybe first interested in is the administration. And I know you've touched on it a little bit, but can you talk about the way, again, that you put a user, that you onboard and offboard a user, both for internal resources at Merit as well as for Google and for the e-learning application?
Yes. So the first step in all of this, of course, is we create their Active Directory account. And then that Active Directory account is synchronized automatically into Google Docs to create the account there. And then it's manually created for now in the eLeap learning management system, although they're working on an API that will permit us to automate that. And then from there, what we do is we jump into Simplified's management console that they provide. And in there, we can set up rules that specify who, based on directory queries, can access the various systems that are protected by the Simplified Single Sign-On service. So once we've configured an eLeap, the access control, the authorization, then the users can go try to get into Google Docs or try to get into eLeap. They are presented with an intercept authentication page presented by the Simplified service. They put in their username and password. Simplified checks whether they are authorized or not to access that system, and assuming they are authorized, lets the user through. One of the really nice things that we're able to get from the Simplified service as well is that for users that are on our internal network or who are using VPN, they don't even have to sign in at all because the Simplified service uses Windows integrated authentication to grab the credentials of that user, those Active Directory credentials, authorize them or not based on the rules set up in Simplified, and then let the user directly into Google Docs. So the user experience is greatly improved for our corporate network users because they can just, they're automatically authenticated to the systems and can get right in without ever providing a username and password.
And then what about on the sort of the compliance side? Auditing is always very important. What about keeping track of users, both as they're using internal resources as well as specific resources out in and content out in Google and some of the other services you're connected to?
Yeah, both Google Docs and eLeap provide some tools for tracking usage of those systems that we can use for auditing. But perhaps the better or more helpful auditing tool is actually provided by our single sign-on provider, Simplified. They provide logs of access to all of the web systems that are protected by the service, and so we can go into those logs, see who has accessed the systems, and use that auditing information as we might need to for regulatory purposes or whatever.
Excellent. So that's good. So you've laid out the primary business drivers of, you know, improving collaboration, ease of use, a good user experience, making infrastructure reusable. You talked also about some of the primary security concerns of making sure identities and access was controlled by, in many ways, controlled by or at least leveraged through the Active Directory. What's been the response from the user community, from your sales force, and what are you hearing about the implementation from their perspective?
One of the nice things is what we don't hear from the distributed sales team. You know, when you're using a bunch of different systems, very often, you know, you'll run into complaints from users or just even requests for help saying, "Hey, I forgot my username and password." Well, they don't forget their username and password for Google Docs or for our eLeap training system because they don't have to remember them. So in some cases, it's what we don't hear, which is ideal. In other cases, you know, we do get feedback, and the feedback, frankly, there's a range of feedback. On one end, you know, there's a learning curve for people to start using various applications, whether they're web systems or not. So Google Docs is new, relatively new for our user base. They have to learn how to use it. There's a ramp-up time there. Same with our eLeap training system. But the security that we have in place really has no learning curve with it at all. It intercepts requests if needed. If it's not needed, it lets people write in. So yeah, there's some learning curve and support issues related to the applications. One of the nice things we've been able to do with these software as a service applications integrated with the Simplified security is allow content to be mashed up between the various systems. So we have our users, our product managers, for example, who go into Google Docs, and they will actually author their training materials in Google Docs in one location. And then they'll go over to the Learning Management eLeap system, and they'll embed those documents that they authored from Google Docs into the eLeap training system. And then when people go in to take training, they see the training materials embedded inside of the learning management system console, and they can take the trainings and do all the work there. But our product managers only have to author the information in one place and use it everywhere. That actually wouldn't be something that we could have done without the simplified service, because the content in Google Docs is all secure content. And if you were to try to embed that information in this other software as a service application, it would have bounced users out of the application trying to authenticate them to the other service, to Google Docs. But the single sign-on service actually just handles that all automatically behind the scenes, making for a really seamless mashup of information between the systems, which decreases the amount of time our product managers have to invest in creating the training information.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's such a great story. I think the whole premise of this call was really for people to see security not as a roadblock, but really as a collaboration or a business enabler. And I think you've got a great story around that. So let me just pause for a second here and see if we have some questions from the Wikibon community. Any questions?
So I have a question, Lincoln. This is Dave Vellante, and I'm curious as to which Google Docs apps you're using. Is it predominantly spreadsheet and word processing? And can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We're using all of the Google Docs applications and for different purposes. For our training purposes, the mashups that we're doing with our learning management system, we primarily use the presentation application. We'll create a presentation in the Google Docs side, and then we'll embed that presentation into the eLeap learning management system. Then for sharing various product information, sets of product information, or sales tactics and things like along those lines, we use a combination of spreadsheets and regular kind of word processing documents. And then we also leverage the Google Form feature to do surveys, both of internal employees as well as surveys of persons that aren't even employees, and we found that tool very easy because it doesn't require an IT team to, or anybody with a technical background, to set up these surveys or collect the information into a database, in this case a spreadsheet in Google Docs. So we really use pretty much all of the Google Docs applications.
And these are sort of incremental uses, or are they replacing Microsoft client apps? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We are not replacing Microsoft Office applications. Those still serve valuable purposes. All of the desktop publishing features are stronger in the Microsoft applications. Where Google Docs really shines is in the collaboration features. Everything you do in Google Docs is ready and usable on the web, shareable with everybody. So depending on what you're trying to accomplish, you might want to use one or the other.
Okay, so I mean, we've all sort of used Google Docs, and I guess we use them for that reason. So the lack potentially of functionality is offset by the stark advantages of collaboration. Is that a fair statement?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Google Docs really shines in the collaboration area.
Great.
Excellent. Hey, thanks, Dave. Other questions?
I have some more.
Yes, go ahead, Dave.
I'm wondering, Lincoln, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? Or, you know, what kind of advice might you give other practitioners that are listening in?
Good question. Those are always the hardest questions to answer, too. One thing that we discovered with the learning management system is we actually did not originally start authoring our content in Google Docs and then embedding it over into the learning management system. We were actually trying to kind of replicate the information over there, making copies of the information. So one piece of advice would be, from the beginning, think about how the different systems you're setting up can interact to save people time. It took us a little bit of time to get to that point where we recognized, you know, hey, we're probably wasting time here because we can just author it in one place, not try to transfer the files over to a second location. So that's one thing, is think of the ways that your systems can integrate together, not just a bunch of siloed applications. We may not have thought of that enough at the beginning.
Right, so really sort of think about what your real end game requirements might be relative to collaboration. Don't necessarily think of the way things are today, but really the business process, the amount of information sharing between applications that's desired by the end users, and shoot for that as your end game requirement.
Yeah, and you know, some of that's hard to recognize up front, because as you integrate together all of these software as a service applications, and as they're all secured behind a common security system, it really presents novel ways of approaching problems. And so, you know, while we didn't think of it, it's kind of not surprising that we didn't, and I'm sure we're going to discover other ways that we can leverage the systems as kind of one meta system, if you will, and get a lot of benefits that we didn't originally realize.
Yeah, great. One of the questions I just got in was, and thanks for those that are on the call that are tweeting right now, but how, from a technical perspective, Lincoln, how important were standards, you know, technical standards for identity and access management, and the support for those standards by the vendors that you choose to use?
The support for standards was extremely important in our case. In particular, we needed a vendor for the security system that would be able to integrate with our Active Directory. And we also needed that vendor to be able to support the authentication standards on the Google Docs side, which is SAML. But at the same time, we had some applications, in the Elite training system, for example, that wasn't standards-based in its authentication. So we also needed a vendor who could support customization. So we needed both the ability to integrate with standards like SAML for authentication. We also needed the ability, and of course, Active Directory. And then we also needed the ability to customize for non-standard applications so that we
right.
could tie them all together. So I'd say that both customization and standards were important aspects of the choice. When we were looking at that, I was not able to find any other vendor other than Simplified that was able to support both standard SAML authentication as well as customized non-SAML applications and integrating them into a single security story. So that was an important part of our decision.
Yeah, it seems like SAML is making continues as a mature identity and access management standard, continues to make progress. Although in terms of implementation and adoption, although it is as a percentage a lower percentage in terms of software as a service providers standard for access and identity management, whereas HTTP and SSL seems to dominate still. But it's you make an important distinction between the importance of customization and standardization in the platforms that you use. That's a very, very good point for our listeners.
This is David Fire. I'd like to ask a question, if I may. From an organizational point of view, how have you managed this? I'm not quite sure how you're reporting, but it seems to me that you're reporting directly to the sales function. How have you integrated this in with IT, this whole process? And if you had to do it again, would you do it differently, or would you recommend to the organization they do it differently?
I'll answer your second question first, and then I'll give you some information about the first part of your question. I don't think I'd recommend that we do it differently. It worked. We succeeded, and I'm happy with the results. So the way we did that is I was tasked with solving these problems for sales and marketing, and came up with some proposed solutions. And initially, I drove the project with help from the IT team. They assigned persons on the network side to do some of the implementation work that was required. Once the project was complete, we were implemented, everything was working, I've slowly started transitioning the support and such over to the IT team, to the help desk team, to the network operations team. They've done a great job of it. So it initially started out as a product being driven by sales and marketing, and then over time we've transitioned the various functions over into the IT team, and it's worked wonderfully.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no problem.
So you, I think it sounds to me that this, that you sort of, you see this, the solution that you have here is really a platform, not just for this set of services that are using, that you're using in the cloud, the e-learning platform and the Google apps, but really as a, as a platform for identity and access management as you grow in the number and different type of cloud services that you use. Do you see it that way also? Do you see this as a point solution, or do you really see this as a platform for security as the company, you know, begins to move more toward cloud services?
I certainly see this as a platform. I see it as a competitive advantage. I see this as a way for us to bring in functionality more quickly and less expensively and provide those tools to our distributed team. Some examples of how we've already leveraged that come to mind. One example is that we recently needed to provide access to a web-based training system to our sales team. Well, that was very easy to roll in to our security platform and give them immediate access. They could still follow the same pathways that they're used to following to get into the web system. They can get right into this additional training. We've also, initially we started out the project by providing access to these web systems to just only employees, although they were distributed all over the world. But since then, because it was working well, we ended up extending access to these systems to our distributors. And those distributors, they're not employees, they just have contractual relationships with our company, but they are now accessing similar information, not all of the same information. That information then they can use to do their jobs better, and we have a better way of managing that information. And we manage it in the same way for our distributors as we do for our employees. So already it's provided us very quick and easy ways of expanding use of our systems and expanding to new systems, and I foresee that continuing into the future and saving us a lot of time and money. I really do look at this as a competitive advantage.
So could you look at into your crystal ball a little bit? And the leveraging that you've just talked about sounds great. What do you see in the future going forward? And actually, that question, I had one follow-up on that too.
Yeah, so on that question, there are some existing internal applications that we've considered extending single sign-on access to. Some applications we use internally already work with integrated with authentication, but some important ones don't. And so one area we're considering extending use of the system is in those internal applications that people currently have to remember an additional username and password for. Another place that we might extend to in the future is a CRM application. That's a place that we've investigated. We haven't made movement yet, but over the next several years, that might be a place where we want to go strongly. And we could very easily roll a CRM application into our security platform. I know that Simplify, for example, has an excellent integration with Salesforce.com, which is one of the providers that we've considered for CRM. And, you know, what else could come along? Well, I can imagine using software as a service for tracking product requirements. I know that there's some great product requirement tools out there, project management tools. And software as a service is really blossoming right now, and it's so much easier to simply integrate it into a well-established security ecosystem than to try and go get a bunch of software and hardware and set it up and maintain it and do the patching. My work and the work of our small IT team can be leveraged much further through the implementation and integration of software as a service applications that are well secured in a common environment. So is that enough of a crystal ball? Anything more specific than that you were looking for?
Yes, that sounds great. I like the idea of I like the notion you have about actually using this the platform that was brought in primarily to connect identities inside and outside the data center to better connecting identities inside the data center, identity and access management.
Yeah.
That's a very, very interesting point, and we'd love to come back and come back with you at some time and see how that piece is going. Just one follow-up on David Floyer's question about the organizational integration. Who owns this now? Who owns this security capability that you've built now, that you've brought into Merit Medical? Who's the day-to-day owner of the platform and all the business process around it?
You can look at that in a few different ways. From a business perspective, I would be the owner of it. From a technical security perspective, the IT team and the network operations portion of the IT team, they're the owners of that. From an end user experience and making sure that everything, questions are answered and resolved, that's owned now by our help desk team, which is part of our IT team. So there's different owners depending on the aspect of the system that you take into consideration.
Great.
So kind of a follow-up on that. This is Dave Blunt again. So in this particular instance, the sales team really drove the adoption. Do you see that? You know, there's this big discussion going on in our community around, you know, how cloud is getting adopted and where the drivers are coming from. And it seems like it's not IT predominantly, it's sort of business lines. Do you see, and that was the case here, do you see that trend continuing, or in the case of Merit Medical, just sort of, was it an epiphany where you now are going to start driving a lot of these applications to the cloud? Can you maybe talk about that dynamic a little bit?
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I don't think it's any accident that Salesforce.com, for example, was one of the first major cloud computing providers, software as a service providers, and that is a sales application. Why is that? Well, because sales teams are distributed. They are out in the field. They're working hard trying to meet with their customers, and so they have a relatively unique set of technical needs. They need to be able to get information all over the world, and that information needs to come to them reliably and quickly, and cloud computing is perfect for that user experience, because the way cloud computing works, if it's well implemented, is you're getting processing power and storage and so information retrieval from computers or sets of computers that are closest to your geographic location, improving the amount of time, decreasing the amount of time spent getting that information and interacting with the system. So yeah, I don't think it's an accident that sales teams are driving this sort of thing. Now, there are some companies that are moving even towards distributed teams outside of their sales teams. Some people have large groups of employees that are working in other homes in other job functions. And then, of course, there's offshoring happening for a number of job functions. So those sorts of things, I think, really do play a role in the adoption of cloud computing. And I do see that continuing to be the case, although IT teams might start being drivers for it in cases where, say, the majority of the users in a company end up being distributed. In those cases, maybe the IT team would be the driver for it. But in most cases, I think it will be the individual departments that have that sort of need that will come forward and say, hey, we have this need. How can it be solved?
You know, there's another interesting dynamic, Mike, and that brings up, which is you talk about the distributed nature of the workforce and the application access. Risk, by its very nature, is distributed as well. And so I'm wondering how you're handling information risk in this world in terms of doing things around archiving. Are you using Postini? And how does it play into your sort of legal information risk? Is there a strategy there?
Yeah. So Think in terms of what companies are doing prior to or in lieu of having a system like the one that we've put in place. Well, most likely they're emailing out to all of their sales reps a whole bunch of information. And that email, of course, then is sitting around on their sales representative's laptops, and they lose those laptops, or the employee is terminated and that laptop is still in their possession. And then that information is very easy for people to get access to. Well, in our situation, where we've gone in the direction of using a distributed document tool like Google Docs, a distributed productivity tool, it's less likely that those users are actually going to be downloading copies to their laptops of that information. So it actually, in my mind, is a little bit more secure than what we were doing previous to choosing Google Docs because, you know, they're accessing all of their information from a centralized location, which is Google's servers. And then that information, of course, we have backups of that information as well. So, but I'm more confident in Google's ability to keep their systems up and running than for us to, you know, losing some of the backups of the information that we have. So I actually think that we're in a more secure position relative to our information than we were prior to that because of our business methodology being, you know, emailing information around.
Have you had to test that? I mean, I agree, by the way, but I'm just curious if, I mean, it's new here, but I wonder if you've had to test that at all, either in a, you know, a court or other activities where you've had to go and find information. Have you found that effective? Have you been able to test that yet?
I'm not aware of any need to test that yet. I do know that initially one of the very important things in our process for adopting this model was that we had our legal team review our contracts with Google, with eLeap, with Simplified. They redlined those contracts. There was back and forth between legal teams, and once the legal team was confident that we were in a secure position, that's when we went forward with the plans. So we certainly did include legal in the process and would recommend that anybody considering such a paradigm include their legal teams. It's an important part of it.
What was the discussion like, if you can share with us, around the SLA? Was it in your view that the Google SLA was really attractive, or was it potentially less than what you guys were providing? I wonder if you could share with us that dynamic.
The Google SLA presented no concerns to me or, frankly, to anyone else. In fact, the Google contract was the one that our legal team had the least concerns with of the various ones. They had the least feedback on that. In fact, I don't think they even requested any changes to the Google contract, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
So the Google SLA was a benefit of the deployment, not a contentious point like it is in some other environments.
It wasn't for us, no. Yeah. And I can imagine it being for some people, but it really was almost a non-issue for us.
Right.
Well, just picking up on Dave's point, Lincoln, and then I'll open up for some other questions. One of the ways, you know, that some of these new technologies get sort of tested, right, to use your word, David, tested, is, you know, what the auditors think. So has your move to Google and your use of this sort of distributed or federated identity management scheme, has this passed an audit yet at Merit Medical, or has the audit community been involved?
One of the things that we agreed on early on was that there were certain kinds of information that we would not be putting into Google Docs. That doesn't mean that we might not make adjustments in the future. I have no idea. It depends on business needs. But there are certain kinds of information, particularly related to finances, that we did not decide to put in Google Docs. So a lot of the regulatory issues related to that were non-issues just because of the decision not to go that direction for now. We are in a heavily regulated environment in the medical device industry, so all of the information that we put out to people, we carefully review. We have internal processes for approving content, and we don't share that content with particular groups of people unless it's approved for that group of people. So some information is internal, some is external. So we do have a lot of regulation in place around the content and how we move it around. But we've been able to use Google Docs quite effectively, even in this, you know, environment.
Yeah, excellent. So you do that. You sort of control information as a matter of policy. Can you automate that, or is that just is that policy and education for the employee base? Is that the way you sort of get the policy complied with?
There is a lot of education that goes on when various internal processes change and employees are made aware of that and are required to understand those processes and how to comply with them. And that's something that Merit Medical has been doing for, you know, more than 2 decades, so it's right. You know, that's nothing new to us. And to the extent we need to, we will extend processes around how we use information in our web systems, and we do have processes related to our web systems that people are required to adhere to.
Excellent. All right, you've given us a great amount of information and very, very helpful. Let me see. We've got a bunch of folks on the line. Do we have some questions from some of the other callers?
This is David Floyer again. I'd like to ask what things are missing from the simplified solutions and the setup that you have. What things would you be asking the IT industry to put in to make life easier for you or to extend what you can do?
Yeah, what's on simplified's to-do list?
So speaking of simplified, and I might ask, I think Josh is on the line, I might ask him to step in a minute and respond to some of these things. But one of the things that I'd like to see is an enhanced user experience around the auditing. We get lots of great information, and I know that Simplified is planning on enhancing their portal to provide kind of a nice look and feel graphic-y thing around the whole audit information experience. So for today, we get all the information we need, but the kind of view of that information is something that I would like to improve so that I can extend it to people a little bit more easily. Another thing, you know, I'm thinking that over time it would be nice to see services like Simplified, and I hope Simplified themselves, extend in a way where they become kind of just very prevalent in use around the internet, even for non corporate users. It would be nice if I, as a just a guy using the internet, could have a reasonably inexpensive or even a free way in some cases of using single sign-on for my web environment. I think that would be a wonderful place to go for our users, and then you know that in turn could be leveraged by businesses if businesses know that all of their users have access to these sorts of technologies. So kind of a universalization of single sign-on, of easy access. You know, people have been trying to do that with various open source technologies, and maybe we're getting closer, and that has been particularly successful so far as I'm aware. So those are some of the directions. You know, facilitating access to audit information and perhaps making the services more universal are a couple of areas where I'm keenly interested. Josh, did you have anything that you wanted to say along those lines?
Yeah, this is Joshua Foreman. I'm Simplified Vice President of Customer Success. And Lincoln's done a great job explaining a lot of what we've done and what we've done for Merit. As far as a future roadmap goes, we have heard we are working on some improved reporting on auditability. As I said, we have all the information, and right now we allow our customers to, most of them, feed it into some other reporting system that they have, which fits for a lot of companies, but there are those who would like a little bit more reporting built in. And actually, the second one was right up what Lincoln was saying, is expanding our ecosystems of applications that we integrate with so that there's more and more companies can utilize more and more applications. Specifically, this comes into play around the non-SAML supported applications, which there are, as stated before, many more of than those that support SAML. And actually what we've got coming out in our next release in October is the ability for our customers to build these connection points for non-SAML adapters themselves, rather than them having to be an application that's in our ecosystem. They will be able to grow the ecosystem of applications we integrate with themselves, and we're really seeing that as a big leverage point to expanding the applications that we support on a much faster ramp rate.
You know, I want to compliment Josh too while we've got him talking. You know, we actually have already driven some enhancements into the Simplified platform since we've started using their service. One example of that is that I don't remember the details at this point. It's been quite a while, but there was something that was preventing us from fully accessing all of the information we needed to through single sign-on on the iPhone. And Josh was very helpful in championing the need for that change to the simplified platform. That change was made, and it's worked perfectly for us. So as far as the roadmap goes, I'm pretty happy to say that I think that we'll have Merit Medical will have input into that roadmap, and we already have, and it's been a good relationship.
Excellent. Good stuff. Okay, we've just got a couple of minutes left. Maybe my last question, Lincoln, would be, you know, if you're speaking with your peers, you know, to your peers about the project that you're involved with, you've completed, things that you have learned, what would the discussion with your peers be about this whole issue of security in the cloud and establishing, you know, a solid platform for identity management? What would that discussion be like? What advice might you give your peers?
First thing I would say is this is something that you should be doing. The opportunities that it opens are just so important for any company today. It allows us to be more dynamic, more flexible, provide better tools more quickly and less expensively to our customers, but it's all dependent on our ability to really think through how we're going to manage it and secure it. Because, you know, it's one thing to throw a bunch of tools quickly and inexpensively at your users, but it's another thing to digest all of those new tools into a single coherent system. So, like I said, my first thing would be, yeah, you should be doing this, and you should be thinking about how to do it in an effective way. Because once you have an effective system set up for adopting these technologies, then it makes your life so much easier to just bring on one more, extend it to another group of people. That's one thing I'd say. Another thing I'd say is there are different ways of approaching this. There are some traditional vendors out there that do single sign-on, that do some extent of securing web systems. But I would consider how long it's going to take to set those up, how expensive it's going to be. And there are new ways of doing these things, and Simplified is a great example of that. They aren't as expensive, but don't take as much time. You know, it probably took us, I'm guessing, about 100 hours of time from Merit employees to set up the simplified service. Now, we spread that out over a period of 5 or 6 months, but really only about 100 hours worth of time. Most of that time spent by one of our networks operations guys who really dug in to get our network working with the simplified system. So, you know, that amount of time is probably close to nothing compared to what amount of time is required from some of the more traditional solutions to these sorts of problems. So I guess my second piece of advice would be consider the innovators out there. The computing landscape is changing rapidly towards mobile cloud computing, and there are vendors out there who are leveraging those technologies or who are integrating with those technologies in great ways to really help your business out.
That's excellent. Very, very good. All right. Well, maybe I'll just stop to see if there's one last question from anyone on the line. excuse me. And if not, I'd like to thank Lincoln Cannon from Merit Medical for sharing his story with us. It's certainly a great story. And your advice, Lincoln, to peers at the end here of just sort of the Nike, just do it when you're thinking about cloud services and some of the security that you can achieve by using technologies such as the technologies that you've selected. I think that's a tremendous message to the marketplace, particularly a message coming really from an end user like yourself that is or an entity that represents end users that's very technically savvy. I think it's very, very strong, and I think people in the marketplace and the Wikibon community in general really need to think more and more about security as an enabler of some of these effective cloud services. So a very, very good message, and I thank you on behalf of the Wikibon community for sharing that with us.
Very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, great. So with that, I think we'll wrap up for today. The next, with a thanks to Lincoln Cannon, certainly, for sharing his views with us, the next Wikibon Peer Insight meetup is next Tuesday, August 10th. Where we'll be speaking with the director of operations and engineering from Colonial Williamsburg, speaking about virtual storage consolidation, migrating data from Tier 1 to the cloud. So look for our note on that, and please join us next. And again, thanks to Lincoln Cannon from Merit Medical for sharing your story on securely moving to the cloud. And on behalf of the Wikibon community, thanks for everyone participating, and bye for now.